broken heart can drive you to do some pretty unbelievable things, even put up walls to avoid being hurt again. Imagine a 5-foot-tall, 100-pound heartbroken man excavating, shaping, and hoisting massive coral blocks into a structure all by himself, literally building walls to try to deal with a broken heart. This is the story of Edward Leeds Scanlon. This is the mystery of Coral Castle.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to episode 12 of Southern Mysteries. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. Well, a few months ago, I received this email from Allison Carter. She is the host of the Not Your Little Lady podcast. She wrote, "Hey, I was listening to your podcast this morning, and when you talked about Florida, it got me thinking. A few years ago, I went to South Florida to visit my dad and stepmom. We went to the Coral Castle in Homestead, Florida. No one knows how the guy who built it moved all the heavy coral rock miles to its location, but it is kind of a cute and sad love story, but also a mystery because he didn't have help moving the rock, building the structure, and he allegedly did it all at night. I think there's some speculation that he used the Earth's magnetic field to move the rock. Anyways, could be a neat episode for the future. Hope you'll find it intriguing. Thanks, Allison." Well, to say my interest was piqued, that's an understatement. Florida is full of unique attractions to experience, and I've spent a lot of time there, but I'd never heard of Coral Castle and the mystery surrounding this place that's drawn visitors from all over the world. Well, Coral Castle is not a castle. It's often referred to as a modern megalith, and if you don't know what a megalith is, the best comparison would be a large ancient memorial like the Egyptian pyramids or Stonehenge. Now, as the information on the Coral Castle website points out, it's an architectural feat. Now, since it opened back in 1940, scientists, engineers, scholars, and tourists have been in awe of Coral Castle, and they've questioned how its creator, Edward Leeds Scanlon, a 5-foot, 100-pound man, could do all this work. Now, by the time Ed completed his masterpiece in 1940, he had excavated, carved, and moved 1,100 tons of coral rock, or limestone, as it's also known. As you walk through this incredible memorial, you see many coral walls that weigh 125 pounds per cubic foot. Each section of wall is 8 feet tall, 4 feet wide, 3 feet thick, and weighs more than 58 tons. And those are just the walls. Inside the walls, there are massive limestone structures, including rocking chairs, a sundial, a telescope, and some of these weighed more than 57,000 pounds. For decades, there have been theories and legends surrounding Coral Castle, one even suggesting that Ed used reverse magnetism and supernatural abilities to move and carve all of these stones, that he may have even had aliens help him do this. Preposterous theories. But there are some explanations that could make sense. But before we get to the how, let's talk about the who and why. Who was Ed Leeds Scanlon, and why did he dedicate a majority of his life to creating this architectural mystery of the South? Edward Leeds Scanlon was born in Latvia in the late 1880s. When Ed was 26, he became engaged to Mary Agnes Scuffs. He called her his sweet 16 because she was 16 years old. The difference in age didn't matter to Ed. He loved his sweet 16 and called her the love of his life. Now, in Rusty McClure's book, Coral Castle, The Mystery of Ed Leeds Scanlon and His American Stonehenge, he recounts what happened on the day Ed and his Agnes were to be married. It's said that the two made it to the altar. They were there, standing in front of the priest, who leaned in and asked if they were ready, really ready, to be committed to one another for the rest of their lives. And Agnes looked up and said she was not. She couldn't marry Ed. She walked away, leaving Ed alone at the altar. Ed chased after her, but we'll never know if he ever even spoke to her again. His family said the disappointment and embarrassment were too much for him. He immigrated to America in 1912 and never returned to Latvia. Now, the next few years of Ed's life, they were spent moving from job to job. He spent time working in the logging industry in Oregon. By the 1920s, he was in his early 30s and was said to have had tuberculosis and was told to move to a warmer climate. So by 1923, Ed moved to Florida City, Florida. That's in Miami-Dade County. Now, with time, Ed's health improved. Some say it was supernatural powers, and some say it was the good old Florida sun. All that mattered to Ed was that he was better, and he was ready to move forward with his life and finish a plan he had had for some time. Now, by 1936, Ed was able to purchase land in Homestead, Florida, and he set about creating not only a home, but also finishing his monument to his lost love, to his sweet 16, Agnes. You see, Ed had already spent years building some of the structures that would become part of the Coral Castle in Homestead. And for the next 3 years, Ed moved those heavy structures from Florida City to Homestead. That's a distance of about 10 miles down the Dixie Highway, as it's called. And he did it with the help of a friend who had a large truck and a trailer that Ed was able to use. Now, imagine the people of that area who saw big coral carvings being moved along the Dixie Highway, and none of them ever saw Ed loading or unloading that trailer. Ed was extremely private, so he did most of the work at night because he wanted to avoid having to explain what he was doing and why he was doing it. By 1940, the Coral Castle carvings were in place, and Ed finished erecting the walls, and curious people would show up at the gate and be greeted by this man who asked for 10 cents and allowed visitors to walk through the memorial. For years to come, Ed would add certain carvings and certain parts of this memorial. And when he was asked how he moved the blocks of coral, Ed would only reply that he understood the laws of weight and leverage. And he would just leave it at that. But how on earth did Edward Lead Scanlon, this again small, 100-pound, 5-foot-tall man, build the Coral Castle? Time has left us with those theories. Remember that Ed had supernatural powers or aliens helped him create his Coral Castle. Well, thankfully, there are some simple and down-to-earth explanations. And the one thing that makes the most sense, that Ed used the tripod and hoist method. It's known as the lifting tripod. Well, in part, at least. Oh, Chris White, he's the director of Ancient Aliens Debunked. This is a 3-hour response to the theories proposed on the History Channel series, Ancient Aliens. It's essentially this point-by-point critique of all the theories. He shared a video on YouTube of how he believes Ed was able to lift, move, and carve all of the stones for Coral Castle. So I'm going to take you through his reasoning that based on a majority of experts who have looked into the ways Coral Castle could have been built, these answers seem to make the most sense. So first of all, how on earth did Ed lift all of those stones?
Well, believe it or not, there are actually pictures and even a very recently found little-known short film showing him using a heavy lifting tripod or teepee lift with a block and tackle hand chain hoist to lift the stones. The tripod and hoist method using large logs was a very common method of lifting heavy objects at the time that Lead Scanlon built Coral Castle. In fact, this method is still in use today. The hoists are really typical hand chain hoists, sometimes called a block and tackle or chain fall, and some of the hoists are still in the tool shed at Coral Castle. It should also be noted that in the pictures of Ed using the tripod, you can see that he's actually using two hoists, which would again double the capacity he was able to lift. In the video, you can actually see Ed lifting a 15-ton stone with only one hoist. The largest stone at Coral Castle was about 30 tons. Even if we assume that the hoist he was using in the video was only 15 tons, he could have simply added another hoist to lift the 30-ton stone. It should be noted, however, that the largest stones at Coral Castle are sitting on the ground and probably didn't need to be lifted off the ground, but rather just stood up on their ends, which means that the full 30-ton capacity wouldn't even be needed.
Now, I know that's a lot of detail, but it's certainly a better explanation than Ed had supernatural powers or had aliens help him build Coral Castle. Chris referenced a video that has surfaced all these years later of Ed working on Coral Castle, and I'll be sure to put the link for you in the show notes because he will continue to mention that video because in the video, it does show in detail the machinery, what Ed had around him, the tools he used. It's just people weren't able to put everything together at the time because it's not like they had video access to look at these things and walk through them all those years ago. And that's not like it would pop up on social media on Facebook and you could go through and frame by frame go, oh, this is how Ed is doing this. Okay, so we know how Ed was able to lift all those stones for Coral Castle, but how did Ed move the stones from the quarry to the site? And remember, his friend let him use a truck and trailer, but Ed was said to have done all the work on his own. Again, here's Chris White.
We're helped by this amazing new video recently uncovered. It shows Leedskalnin using a technique that is used by many machinery movers today. He's using a chain, ratchet, and a system of rollers. This method could easily move even the largest stone at Coral Castle with minimal effort. This is because the capacity of the ratchet pulling the stone only needs to be a fraction of the total weight of the object that it's pulling.
Okay, that makes complete sense. So we know how Ed lifted the stones. We know how Ed was able to move those stones without the help of anybody else. Now, Chris White is going to explain how Ed was able to carve the stones on his own.
The stones that were used to build Coral Castle were made out of a type of limestone formed by coral. This stone was quarried on site, so he never had to move the stones very far. The stone is actually relatively easy to quarry since the particular type of stone was very brittle and therefore easy to chip away from the bedrock. According to James Miller, a tour guide at Coral Castle, after removing the stone from the quarry, it was carved using a chain with teeth, much like a chainsaw blade. The quarrying and carving of the stone is not usually disputed since there's nothing very mysterious about it other than the fact that it would take a great deal of patience. But considering that Leedskalnin worked on the site more or less continually for over 28 years, we can see that, if nothing else, Leedskalnin was a patient man.
Now, those seem like reasonable explanations for how Ed was able to lift the stones, move the stones from the quarry to the site, and carve the stones for Coral Castle. Now, one big question that has also come up about Coral Castle, and one that has led to a lot of theories around the supernatural, have been numbers that were inscribed on the door jamb of the second floor of Coral Castle and in some other areas of Coral Castle. Ed did inscribe these numbers, but the question has always been, you know, what do they mean? And how are they related to the stars and everything supernatural? I think this goes to overthinking for a lot of us, because sometimes, you know, this is true in your own life. The answers to the questions you have, they're a little bit more simple than you make them out to be. Again, here's Chris White.
There are two sets of numbers inscribed on a door at Coral Castle, and many have speculated that these numbers were a clue as to how Leedskalnin moved or lifted the stones. But they are actually his immigration registration number and his citizenship number. You can actually prove this because Leedskalnin's immigration papers still exist. It was common for immigrants in those days to post or carve these numbers on a door for the authorities.
See, again, people running crazy with theories and mysteries, and it really was such a simple answer. I found a picture of Ed standing next to that portion of the wall with those numbers inscribed, and you can see it on our Southern Mysteries Facebook page. Understanding the meaning of those words and seeing him next to that wall, I mean, it actually makes it a pretty powerful photo. Finally, one of the biggest questions that has been out there just for decades has been, why was Ed so vague about his technique? Why didn't he just explain how he was doing things and how he made Coral Castle into a reality?
Edward Leedskalnin often built Coral Castle at night, and he evaded questions about how exactly he built it. He gave cryptic answers to people that asked him, like, "It's not difficult if you know." It seems that he wanted people to think it was more mysterious than it was. I speculate that, at least in part, this was just good marketing. After all, he did make his living giving tours of Coral Castle, and it would just make sense to keep people guessing as to his methods.
Again, Chris White with some of his theories and beliefs about Coral Castle. You can see Chris's complete video about Coral Castle. I will put the link for you in our show notes so you can check it out for yourself and learn more about Coral Castle and, of course, see the video and photos that Chris mentioned. The folks who operate Coral Castle tell you even today that Ed Leedskalnin's life achievement, it's an undying testimony of his great love for Agnes Scuffs. I mean, he never married, and he dedicated a large portion of his life from 1923 to 1951 to building Coral Castle for this woman who was the love of his life, even if she did break his heart. So I guess you could call the Coral Castle the Taj Mahal of the South. Only a few months after he completed Coral Castle, in December of 1951, Ed Leedskalnin became ill. he put a sign on the door of his castle that said, "Going to the hospital." He took a bus to Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami, and he died 3 days later in his sleep at the age of 64. Ed's undying love has inspired many people, including Billy Idol, who recorded the song Sweet 16 for his Whiplash Smile album. Billy Idol even recorded the video for the song at Coral Castle in 1986 because it was based on the love story of Lead Skalinen and Agnes. As the lyrics say, while memories may burn you, memories grow older as people can. They just get colder, like Sweet 16. For more on the life of Edward Lead Skalinen and to learn more about Coral Castle, you can check out the show notes. And you can see photos of Ed and his Coral Castle on our social media channels. You can check us out on Twitter at Mysteries Pod. And on Facebook, look up Southern Mysteries Podcast. We do have a discussion group if you'd like to join in. We share ideas there about future episodes for the show and talk more about episodes of Southern Mysteries. Now, I'm very excited about March because March is Mysteries, Myths, and Legends of Mississippi, March Madness. You're going to get a new episode of Southern Mysteries every week in the month of March. So we are back next week with a new episode of Southern Mysteries for you as we dive into one of the most infamous murders in the state of Mississippi and the social and the racial injustice of it all, the Goat Castle murders in Natchez, in the next episode of Southern Mysteries. This episode of Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. Our theme song, Dark and Troubled by Panther Burn. And a very special thanks to Philip St. Hours for permission to use that song. And as Courtney put it when she tweeted at us at Mysteries Pod this week, does anyone else dance to the Southern Mysteries podcast intro outro music? No, if not, I'll just dance in the corner by myself with a dog. Courtney, I don't think you're dancing alone, honey. Y'all have a great week.
It'll be all right. Careful what